Pastor Ray Bentley reminds us we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ.
But there is another thing that distinguishes us from every other group. Jesus said, you also must love your, what? Enemies. How can we use all of our time, energy, money, resources, emotion, heart, passion, creativity to love those who are our enemies and love one another?
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's not that hard to love those who love us back. It's a challenge to love those who are apathetic toward us, but it's a big challenge to love those who would do us harm. And yet it's that higher standard to which Jesus calls us, especially in light of his return. We'll study that today as we continue our survey of prophecy.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And this morning I'm going to do a part one of a two-part message on the letter to the Church of Philadelphia as we go through verse by verse the book of Revelation. So I want to read to you this letter in its entirety, and then, as I said, we'll cover the first few verses 7 through 9 today. And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works, Jesus says. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Each one of the seven letters were written by Jesus, dictated through John, and all seven of them were in the country in your Bible, in the back of your Bible maps. It would be Asia Minor. But it is all seven of them in that one country. Today, the modern name of that country is Turkey. And as we look at these seven letters that Jesus is writing, we come now to the church, the sixth letter of Philadelphia. Now, those were seven real churches, and these seven letters went to those seven churches. But I also believe that those seven letters, beginning with Ephesus and going on to Philadelphia and last of all Laodicea, are kind of, as we now have a 2,000-year vantage point to look back from the birth of the church in Acts until today, they kind of tell the story of church history. And with Ephesus correlating with the church of the early church, the book of Acts, and then on through history. Where are we then as we come to the Church of Philadelphia? We saw that Sardis in many ways was kind of the Reformation era and church. Now we come to Philadelphia. This would be the church, generally speaking, from the 18th century to the present, all the way up into the very present time. As you know, Philadelphia means love of the brethren, or it means the city of love. We are called by our Father in heaven to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But we're not only to love God, and we're not only to love one another, our brothers and sisters, and to love our neighbors as Christians, but there is another thing that distinguishes us from every other group. Jesus said, you also must love your, what? Enemies. Isn't that a powerful message? You must love your enemies. Imagine if the world would take that as its top priority. How can we use all of our time, energy, money, resources, emotion, heart, passion, creativity to love those who are our enemies and love one another? In Jesus, miracles happen. And now, Philadelphia was in a strategic location on the edge of the frontier. If you look at the, it's kind of a elliptical circle that these seven cities dot. Philadelphia is on the far eastern end of that circle of churches. And it was known as the main route from Rome to the far east and was therefore called the Gateway to the East. Now, it just so happened that this church was a healthy church. The church had a vision to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. And God had set before them an open door. It was through Philadelphia that the gospel went beyond Asia Minor and went east through to India and went through to Asia and filled that whole part of the world, half of the population of the world. Now, there was an interesting thing about the city of Philadelphia, though. They had their location was a problem because they were on a fault line, an earthquake fault line. And every once in a while in history, they had these violent earthquakes and these tremendous shaking experiences. In fact, it had just happened in 17 BC that there was they were destroyed. The city of Philadelphia was destroyed. Also, the city of Sardis was destroyed. And 10 other cities were destroyed. So imagine with the superstitions and so forth and the fears 2,000 years ago, after it had destroyed the city, the vast majority of the people in the city of Philadelphia ran out into the mountains and put up tents and lived there, some of them for decades, and said, we are not going back there. Now, what's interesting is, of course, Jesus writing a letter, he's risen, resurrected, he's from heaven, he knows the city, he knows their history, he knows their fears. And isn't it interesting that he writes, where is it here, in verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write the name of my God on him and the name of the city of my God upon him. He goes, I'm going to give you stability. He says, Philadelphia, I know where you live. I know that everything beneath your feet has been shaken. The ground beneath your feet has been shaken. The nature beneath your feet has been shaken. Your political and economic life, your city, everything about you has been shaken. He goes, but I am with you, and I will make you a pillar. I will make you stable. You don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to run out in terror anymore. Now, what's amazing to me is as we study this letter to the ancient church of Philadelphia is how appropriate this particular message and church and letter is from Jesus to the church of today. We are living in times now where humanity has never been before, and we don't have all the answers. There are problems that are bigger than any nation or individual leader, or we have global problems. And the Bible said in the latter years and latter days, God will shake everything that can be shaken. And I believe that we are living in those days and we are living in those times. And now again, I comfort you with the words of Jesus who said that when the kingdom is coming, he goes, there's gonna be birth pains. And so the first thing that I comfort you with is the Bible does not predict, nor did the ancient Hebrew prophets predict, nor did the New Testament prophets predict the end of the world. Not going to happen. That's not the message of the Bible. The Bible doesn't come to an end. In fact, but Jesus did say something is going to be born. And what's going to be born is the kingdom of God from heaven is going to come to the earth. And we've been praying for 2,000 years, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to come at the appropriate time. Now, the Lord was saying, look, this is going to happen in the world. I've told you this is going to happen. But remember what the Bible said. He is going to shake everything that can be shaken so that only those things that cannot be shaken are going to remain. There is ground upon which you and I can stand that won't move. And that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that's where we want to stand and where we want to be standing all the way until He comes.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. Each day here on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray digs into the Bible to show us the way to God or to show us the way back. Listen to this.
Dear Pastor Ray, I was recently welcomed home by God after a long decade of riotous living. And by God's grace and mercy, I haven't used alcohol or drugs since that day. The church I attend has helped me deal with my prejudices against organized religion, something I acquired along the way. And on my commutes to work, I listen to you on Maranatha Radio. Your teaching continues to be a great source of inspiration and encouragement to keep me progressing in my growth as a Christian. Thank you.
How have Pastor Ray's studies in God's Word encouraged you in your journey? Would you send us a few words and tell us about it? Your comments mean more than you know. Write Ray at raybentley.com. We hope to hear from you today. Again, that's Ray at raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, Jesus introduces himself to this church, as he does to every letter. He always begins with an introduction, something, some description of himself that pertains to that particular church. Well, how did Jesus, what is it about himself that he revealed to the church of Philadelphia that I think we are living kind of a parallel world and a parallel life and times? These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. There are three things I want to mention to you that Jesus describes about himself that are to bring comfort in shaky times. And the first thing that he shares is, he that is holy. He says, I am holy. Now, I didn't put this in your notes, and you might want to jot down some thoughts, anything that speaks to you in a different way. What do you think of when you think of holiness? If I say, close your eyes, now picture holiness, what comes into your mind? What is it? Maybe light and the glory of God or something heavenly or, what exactly is holiness? Let me share with you the basic idea of holiness. It's going to sound strange in the beginning, but I think as I define it, hopefully it'll give you a new understanding. The basic idea of holiness is that of being separate from all creation. You say, well, okay, what do you mean? What does that mean that he is separate from all creation? It means that Jesus is not a created being. Everything that you see in this natural physical world is created. You were created. You didn't make yourself. You didn't even decide to be born. You came into being. You were created. You were made. Everything you see here in this building was created, was made. Everything that's in this planet was made. Everything in the physical material universe was made. It was created. There's only one thing in the universe and beyond that was not made or created. And that is God. And the word to describe how God is separate and that God is other is that he is holy. The angels who are in the presence of the Lord. You're going to hear that word a lot when we get to heaven. The seraphim cry it out over and over again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is to come. Jesus is the creator of all things. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Without him was not anything made that was made. He made all things. Therefore, he is not to be identified nor confused with the natural world or the natural universe in any way. Therefore, he is completely, totally separate from all evil. Now this I did put into your notes. It means that he, Jesus, was and is completely free from all contamination and all corruption. For the things we see now are not as they once were, nor were they meant to be. Death came as an intrusion into the plan of God. It was not his purpose nor his plan. Eternal life is, because God is eternal. So in this, he exhorts us to be holy, to be set apart for him. The Lord Jesus is the uncreated, holy other with no beginning of days. Now, this is important because many people think that God and the devil are kind of like opposites, and then you got light and you got dark and they're battling, and then you have good and you have evil, and then you have others with philosophies of, you know, there's the yin and the yang and this force and that force, and it's all this energy that's kind of fighting and been going forever and whatever. The Bible says, not true. The devil is not the opposite of God. The devil himself is a created being. He did not make himself. He did not eternally exist. He does not know all things. He does not have all power, and he does not have all authority. He was made. And God has an end purpose for him and where he will go and where he will spend eternity. And so only the Lord is holy, separate, completely other. Therefore, he brought everything into being that is, and therefore he has all power and he has all authority. Now, Jesus says, I am the holy. Secondly, he says, and I am the true. I put it here as the reality of Jesus. This word true in the Greek has a double meaning. One is, it means real or genuine. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, I am the true. I am not the imitation. I am not the fake. I am the genuine Lord and holy, eternal, uncreated God who is other and holy. Now, the other definition of true is interesting. It means trustworthy or reliable. So Jesus cannot lie. He is eternally trustworthy, nor can he lead astray. Therefore, he is saying, you can completely count on me. You can believe everything Jesus says, and every promise he makes, he keeps. He is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. Amen? And we have a covenant where he made a commitment to us by giving us his son and dying and being crucified for us and buried for us and resurrected for us and then coming into our hearts. He did it all, and we merely received it as a gracious gift of faith. Jesus says, I am holy, I am the true, and thirdly, I have the key of David. Now, I want you to turn with me, hold your finger in Revelation, go with me to Isaiah. In the Old Testament, I'm going to make you work a little bit. Isaiah chapter 22, and I want to read verses 21 and 22. It says, I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. And I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Now, originally, Isaiah, about 700 years before Christ was born, is making a prophecy. Israel is not following God. They have a guy that's kind of, the administrator in charge of Israel. He's not seeking the Lord. He's living for himself. His name is Shibna. And he's kind of a wolf, really. And he's taking advantage of people. He's probably taking bribes. He's making deals. He's not honoring the Lord. So through the prophet Isaiah, God comes and prophesies and says, hey, you selfish, false shepherd, I'm removing you. I'm taking your robe and taking your authority, taking your belt, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. Who he gave it to is a man named Eliakim, who would be a good shepherd over the people of Israel and honor the Lord and bless him. But in this prophecy, it's not just about Eliakim. The words, as he begins to describe, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, and so he shall open and no one shut, and shut and no one open, is now Jesus uses that prophecy about himself in the book of Revelation. Isaiah was talking about in history Eliakim, but the bigger, brighter, glorious picture was it was fulfilled by the Messiah. And what Jesus is now saying to this church is, I understand that men and the governments and the Caesars of Rome have mistreated you, and they've persecuted you, and they've hounded you, and they've been unfair to you, and I'm going to remove them. And I'm going to take the mantle and the authority to be the good shepherd and to provide for you and to bless you and to lead you and to guide you. I have the keys of David are the keys to the kingdom. He goes, I can open the doors. And if I need to, and a bad guy is coming or a wolf comes, I know how to shut the door and keep the bad evil away and only open the doors to that which is righteous and holy.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with insight from Jesus' words to the church at Philadelphia. We're in Revelation chapter 3, and Pastor Ray has more to come from this study here on Maranatha Radio. And today's broadcast is available on CD. We can send it your way for a gift of any size. Get in touch and ask for the message called Church of the Open Door. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're excited to tell our listeners about a novel idea you had. What was that novel idea? It was the idea to write a novel.
Yes.
Isn't that a little unusual for a pastor, you know, to jump into the literary fiction pool?
You know, it is. And thankfully, I have help on this. I didn't write it alone. I wrote it with one of the premier Christian fiction writers for the last several decades. Her name is Bodhi Taney. Along with her husband, Brock Taney, they have been a team that for decades, many, many people have read their books, the Zion Chronicles, kind of, you know, the rebirth of Israel, kind of historical, true, but fictional characters that fill in the story. She's sold over 35 million copies of her books. And recently, by God's providence, we met. And I told her, wow, I've read your books. I'm so amazed, so impressed. And I said, look, I don't know if you've ever done this before. As far as I know, you've never co-written with anybody. And so Bodhi said, well, her and Brock, you know what? We're not going to say no. We have never done this before. We've never accepted many people that have wanted or tried to write with us, but let us pray about it. So they went and prayed about it. My translation is they went and did some research, find out if I was a nut or if I was okay. And they said, well, I guess he's okay. And they came back and they said, we would consider it. And so we got together, we met Brock and Bodhi, myself and my wife, and I told them my thoughts, my ideas. And Bodhi said, we're on. We're in, and we're super excited. We believe that God reserved us. We've never written about modern Israel and prophetic things. It's always been in the past. And so it was kind of like, you know, what's happening right now in the Middle East and the building of the temple, the coming of the Lord, and everything that's happening in Jerusalem. So I am so excited about it. I can't wait for people to read it. I want them to get this book. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord. The eyes of the world for 70 years have been focused on Israel. But recently, the inside of that is the eyes of the world are focused on the city of Jerusalem. That's what this book is all about. There's one mountain that is the most controversial mountain in heaven and on earth, because it's that mountain that God sent his son Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. It was to that mountain he came and died. It's that mountain where he was buried. It's that mountain he rose from the dead. It's that mountain he ascended into heaven. And Dave, to the very same mountain he's coming back. The Mountain of the Lord. So I can't wait for people to read it. They're going to love it.
Yeah, they are. And once again, the title of this new novel is On the Mountain of the Lord. Get in touch today for your own copy. We'll send it to you to thank you for your donation. You choose the amount. But remember that your support is what makes it possible for us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today for your copy of On the Mountain of the Lord. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.